All right. I know some of you probably know me, some of you probably don't, some of you curious, and I hope no any of y'all have any dancing shoes on, because I ain't gonna make you dance. I'm gonna tell you some stories and play you some music. How about that?
Jimmy Duck Holmes is a blues musician and proprietor of the oldest active juke joint in the Mississippi Delta, and he's heard a lot and seen a lot and played a lot. And as he just said, he'll tell us some stories and play some music for us.
I said, slow down.
For Dustin Douglas, it's really not possible to separate the two, to separate the stories from the songs. For him, they're one and the same. And when asked to name a tune where he's doing just that, just telling a story from the heart without fussing with technical trappings, Dustin says it's this one, No More Tears to Cry. We're told since the time he learned to walk, Dustin Douglas of Wilkes-Barre had a guitar in his hands. He went on to become one of the most sought-after live and session guitarists in Northeast Pennsylvania when he joined the legendary Pennsylvania rock band, the Badleys, with whom he recorded Epiphones and Empty Rooms and supported Bob Seger on his 2013 arena tour. In 2014, Dustin Douglas released Black Skies and Starlight, his first solo record, to rave reviews, and that album propelled him back into the lead role, leaving his sideman days behind. The following year, Dustin Douglas was ready to get back to his blues rock roots. The self-titled debut record from Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen sold out of its first pressing. Summer 2017 found the release of this CD, Blues One, a collection of classic blues covers, including pieces by John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters, Albert King, and Freddie King, as well as a new original song, this song.
I got so much more that I have to say to you.
And it's in this song, one of his songs, where Dustin feels he's just talking. And speaking of talking through song, this is Stevie Ray Vaughan with May I Have a Talk With You after Howlin' Wolf.
Well, now, darling, may I have a little talk with you?
Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen will bring its critically acclaimed SRV retrospective, Stevie Ray Vaughan retrospective, to the FM Kirby Center's Live from the Chandelier Lobby concert series in Wilkes-Barre this Saturday, November 18th at 8 p.m. Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen have received rave reviews from past performances of their tribute to Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble, and they recently wowed a packed house at the world-famous B.B. King Blues Club in New York City with the show. Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen also played recently here at WVIA in a live homegrown in-studio concert. Dustin Douglas returned to the WVIA studios to talk with us about his music and about the upcoming show and where it all began here in Wilkes-Barre.
As long as I can remember, I mean, my great-great-grandfather was what I now found out was a very, I guess, electric-type violin player, which I did not know till recently. Other than that, no one really played music. I think my grandmother played some drums, but there was always music around.
LPs and or radio?
LPs, CDs. I grew up in the era of what is known as a cassette.
It's one thing to be surrounded by what the family is interested
Absolutely.
In, but what were you interested in?
Music.
Period.
Drum sets and guitars and microphones with lights on them and stuff since I was a baby.
And artists?
Early on, the earliest ones, I had an Elvis infatuation for a very long time. Kindergarten.
And did it have to do with the whole aura?
I think so. I think it was, a lot of it had to do with a vision type thing. You know, it was a very visual thing more than it was. Aerosmith was a very early band that I loved. Like early Aerosmith is still, the bluesy Aerosmith is the greatest.
What was the first encounter you had with the real blues? Do you remember? Was it a record? Was it a...
It wasn't a particular record. I just always remember gravitating towards the honesty of the words. And it was just like, whoa, these dudes, they're not writing words to write a song. They're just, they're talking. What happened?
How about in school at Coughlin? Were you in a high school band?
No, I had a band. We were probably playing gigs at that time. And that wasn't necessarily blues bands. It was top 40 of the time. Well, rock 40, I'd say, of the time. That was even grade school. That was like, I had a band.
And so were you writing at the same time or playing your original stuff?
I was writing, I remember writing lyrics and some melodies, which I still remember, on like my grandmother's bed when they would babysit us and stuff.
So it was in you?
Yeah, it's weird.
How about poetry?
I loved writing poetry in school. And it's something that I wish I would do more. I guess I do. But.
When did it become clear that it was more than just something that you were doing? When did you know that this was going to be a life thing?
I mean, I think kind of more recently, you have to say, what am I doing? Which way am I going? I'm either going to do this or I'm not. So I chose to do it.
Well, people around here know the Badleys and what that means. What did that experience playing with them do for you as a musician?
A lot. I mean, a real lot. Songwriting, showmanship. It was cool to kind of just be the guitar player for a few years where I didn't really sing, and be the front guy. But then like anything, I guess I got the itch to, do the thing again. But I mean, it taught me a lot, a real lot, what to do, some of what not to do.
Your cohorts in the Electric Gentlemen.
Yes.
How long have you known them?
I've known Tommy now, the drummer Tommy Smallcomb. I'd say close to 10 years now. We started trickling and playing. I've known Tommy for a while. We played in some pickup bands with Brett from the Badleys. We had like a foursome with Paul Young. He played in a band called Panacea. We were the Traveling Wilkes-Barrians, and we would play Creedence covers, and it was awesome. And then Matthew I met. I said this to him the other night. I don't remember how we met. He just appeared. He happens to be a killer bass, so it all worked out.
You can play anything you choose to play. What is it that you're exploring these days?
I feel like the exploration for me is almost, in one sense, not done, but I just know, I'm not listening, we're doing it. And what comes out of us is what we're recording. I'm not trying to write any particular, I'm not trying to write rock, I'm not trying to write blues, what comes out of us is honest. And for the first time in my life, I feel, it just happens to be blues rock, so that's, but it always has been, somehow.
Well, talk to us about this CD first.
Yeah, this was the first with the band. I recorded a solo record before this, Out of the Badleys. That was more like a poppy kind of, there's still some afterglow. And then I recorded this one. This is kind of the antithesis of what was going to happen. This was the jump off. And I think every record that every band records, they're finding themselves.
Tell us about this logo. It's engaging.
Our graphic designer, a great friend of mine, his name is Dave Fisk, and I've known him forever, and he happens to be just off the chart. And he's one of those guys where I could just send him random words at night, and I'll wake up to, what I had envisioned in my head. I'm like, that's weird. But, he came up with that, and I'm very proud of that.
We're looking at a fellow from behind with a cane that happens to be a lightning bolt.
It is. I would say it probably has to do with the electric.
Do you just listen to music as well as play music?
I mean, I do what I do more than anything because I am a fan of music, and it's my life. And just sitting in this room with, for the listeners, there's lots of vinyls. And I want to have these shelves someday and Phil, because I collect some vinyls as well, so I'm going to steal some on the way out.
Check it at the door there. You all are going to be at the Kirby Center. At what point in your life did you encounter Stevie Ray Vaughan and say, "Woo, did you say that?"
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the first. I mean, being, you know, the age that I am, and it wasn't a video that I remember, though, but I mean, there were definitely videos at that time of his stuff, but he was, I mean, I think it's probably when I was taking maybe some guitar lessons, and then that was my introduction to Dive In, and then he's definitely one of those guys that I remember sticking out growing up, you know, that I still can remember. It's like, whoa. And then I kind of put it away for a while, which I often do to a lot of things I listen to, because then I feel when you revisit it, you're just like, and it was, I didn't expect revisiting to snowball into such situations, but it did, and I'm very happy it did. So I love playing the stuff, and I feel like it's very comfortable for us as a band, too, because it's a three-piece blues rock band playing three-piece blues rock.
In the course of your own explorations of music, did you ever listen to the people who influenced Stevie Ray Vaughan, Texas Blues and all that?
I mean, I like to do that with anyone I listen to, where I start with what they, and then I want to start digging into their influences. You just check out the ingredients, man. But yes, the Texas Blues Kings, and I like to a makeup of a musician is fun, man. It's awesome.
So you're not trying to channel Stevie Ray Vaughan. You're bringing us this music that really deserves to be heard and played well.
Absolutely. It was cool when we did the first time we ever debuted this show. I was surprised how many people were like, you know, Stevie's my, even people I didn't even know. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? But there's a lot of people out there who love it. And I just want people to come and listen to the music as best as we could possibly play it.
We hear about exhibitions and so forth in museums paying tribute to the life and legacy of Stevie Ray Vaughan and the Fender Stratocaster and things like that. What about your guitar, and what do you love, and where'd you find it?
There's many of them, but my number one right now is a Gibson Firebird that I recently acquired. A good friend of mine actually listened to the demos of the Blues 1 CD and said, man, I could hear a Firebird on this. And then the weird thing is, like, I acquired one through the process of it just ending up in my lap. So, and then another one that I really called, like, I'd run into a burning building for, was my Telecaster that I bought with, like, my 8th grade graduation money or something, which I still love. It's a Jerry Donahue Telecaster, Japanese Telecaster. And I don't really play it that much anymore, but I will.
When the match is right.
Absolutely.
Right?
And there was many other ones in between those two.
We have many classical musicians who sit in
awesome.
That chair. They often talk about the instrument being an extension of them and is not something else, but that it's like their voice, an extension of their voice.
Sure.
And you feel that way about either of those?
I'd feel way more comfortable sitting here if it was on me. My loved ones would probably still say that I play too much guitar at home.
And the Firebird, what do you notice now that when you're playing this music with that guitar, what difference does it make?
It just feels right. It's just a good match. I mean, sometimes certain Tom Petty made the Mojo record literally based upon the 59 Les Paul that Mike Campbell bought. You get that Mojo, no pun intended, but, and then a guitar just, it's the right one for the job. Some hammers are better for other kinds of smashing.
There's lots of music out there that you could put into this show. How do you do that kind of sorting?
That's currently what's happening. Yeah, I mean, the set list is pretty much done by now. Believe me, it'll change. Because that's typical me. But we wanted to do a few things that were different from the first time. And then we had a short set at B.B. King's in New York City, too, that we did. That was like the second show of this that we did. So we wanted some different things. I love switching up the set list. But I think there's some things you have to play.
Okay, name one.
No.
Please?
Well, I mean, I'm sure Pride and Joy is definitely, you got to do it.
I want you to talk about a song that you play on any of these albums or not on an album yet that you feel like you're just talking. Like you said that you were listening to the blues guys and that they were not writing songs because they were self-consciously writing songs. They were just talking.
It's cool how it ended up. It's the last track on the Blues 1 record, which is the only original track on the record. I feel like it's weird. When I write records, it always seems like the last song on the previous record is the is the vibe for the next one. But it is. I did a session for a good friend of mine. His name is Jordan Ramirez, and he plays locally. But he has this little studio, and he wanted me to come in and and just do some acoustic tracks. Two of them he was going to record and take video. And the video is on YouTube. And I played the night before, and it was a hometown show, and I didn't write anything for the session. So I literally wrote it on the spot in moments time. Now it's like one of my favorite tracks ever that I've ever done. So
what do you call it?
It's No More Tears to Cry. Yeah. It's I would listen. I want to make music that I want to listen to. That's the most important thing for me. And that I would totally listen to that.
Is that session that you did where that song came from?
Mm-hmm.
Is that at the old Central United Methodist Church on...
No, that was this whole record. Actually, the album version was recorded there. The original session was at a different spot. But yes, all of these were recorded there.
And you've said that it was an inspiration to be in that space.
It's a wonderful space. I would just take an acoustic guitar out there and sit upstairs. And the natural reverb is just awesome.
So the environment in which you are playing is important.
I think in both ways, it could either make something really special, really good. And I think if there isn't a vibe, it could put some bad voodoo on it.
And you're going to be playing at the Kirby Center in that historic building.
Historic in the sense of just local history, and historic in my life too. You know, how many shows I've seen there.
Did you go to movies there?
I don't think I've ever gone to a movie there. Just concerts. I just went to lots of concerts.
How far afield do you tour these days?
We're headed, our summer's pretty good coming up, you know, so there's no uncharted territory. And what's better than traveling and playing music?
But this weekend you'll be bringing us the music of Stevie Ray Vaughan in your own backyard.
I just hope that I could just an ounce of his power and awesomeness. We're trying.
Born under a bad sign.
Guitarist Dustin Douglas, leader of Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen, bringing the critically acclaimed SRV retrospective, Stevie Ray Vaughan retrospective, to the FM Kirby Center's Live from the Chandelier Lobby concert series in Wilkes-Barre this Saturday night at 8, November 18th at 8. Tickets available online at kirbycenter.org, kirbycenter.org. Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen, as we just heard, actually presented a variation of this particular spectacular with pieces by Stevie Ray Vaughan at B.B. King's Blues Club in New York, SRO, and they'll be in Wilkes-Barre with the show. It's this Saturday night at 8 at the FM Kirby Center on Public Square in downtown Wilkes-Barre, part of the Chandelier Lobby concert series, 8 o'clock. For more information and tickets, kirbycenter.org, kirbycenter.org. And to learn more about Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentlemen, online, dustindouglasmusic.com, dustindouglasmusic.com, dustindouglasmusic.com.
Yeah, why?